It's the art and studio equivalent of the pub crawl.
That was Lisa Melandri. She's the head of the Contemporary Art Museum in St. Louis, talking about the Open Studios tour that's coming up of various artist spaces. I'm Nancy Fowler.
And I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
This is Cut and Paste.
And we'll be hearing a little bit more from Lisa about what interests her about this event and specifically what's changed over the last couple of years.
So Open Studios is now in its 10th year, which is really quite wonderful. And the idea was to create a series of programs and one weekend during the year when as many artists from the St. Louis region who were interested could open their studios to the public so people could really understand how rich our sort of creative community is and how many different kinds of artists there are in the region. And we are up to, on average, about 200 artists that participate each year. This year, it will be held in October. It's the weekend of October 2nd through 4th. And what we have done is we have split the weekend. So on Saturday, October 3rd, its studios open in all the neighborhoods east of Grand. And on Sunday, October 4th, its studios west of Grand. And again, anybody in the community can participate. And what we do at CAM is we're sort of the organizers for it. So we create a website, which is searchable, and the maps that are part of it. And this year we have something that's even more special, which is we have maps and collateral that we did in collaboration with Central Print and Firecracker Press, so that people will also have not only the informational stuff that they need, but some really beautiful commemorative pieces as well.
So you've only been here for 3 years.
Yes.
I'm curious, what was it like to actually jump into this and kind of orient yourself?
For me, it was incredibly impressive that there were this many working, practicing artists with spaces and studios in the region. It's such a generous event because, yes, it does give artists a chance to show people what they're doing, but they're pretty generous to open up, you know, their studios and let people see their process. So I also have this very kind of warm and fuzzy feeling about this. I absolutely adore how many active artists are willing to really share what they do with the public.
What is the experience like for someone who says, I want to go on this tour? What's this going to be like for me?
We have a certain number of very loyal Open Studios participants, audiences. So they'll come to CAM, they'll come to the museum on Friday night. They'll check in on their phones, get the website up and running on the, you know, the mobile platform. They'll pick up the maps, and then we always, at the museum, we sort of function as the ground zero for information. So we also have people that are sitting behind a Open Studios table, and they'll help you search and create your own itinerary. So we do have people that say, I really like ceramics, for example. Where should I go on Saturday and where should I go on Sunday? There are other people who are very, very neighborhood driven. So they'll say, I'm going to go to Cherokee Street, right? Because I know that there's a certain significant number of places I can visit there. So we have the neighborhood people, we have the material people, and then we have other people who really take advantage of the programming that CAM does. So we have curator-led bus tours, we have arts writer-led bus tours, and that is another way that people do it, where they say, okay, I don't want to chart my course myself. I want to kind of put my hands in the arts professionals of St. Louis and have them take me around. But what I do think is fascinating and really, really fun is that when you go out, there will always be someone else that you will see multiple times who has, you know, magically chosen your path. So it's really great fun and really quite wonderful. And we do have very, very loyal repeat visitors. And that's also really quite wonderful because I feel that that allows them to see how artists evolve and have real relationships with certain artists and their practice.
You know, you mentioned that moment where you run into somebody early
yeah.
early in the morning and then you run into them later in the afternoon as well. What kind of things like that do you notice that are like only a part of this kind of event?
It's pretty rare that you have that kind of access to so many creative people in one fell swoop. So I think what you do find is, you know, it's the art and studio equivalent of the pub crawl. And that is really quite wonderful, where you have people just kind of committing to a particular area or region or something, and they're going to go through that list and hit every studio that's in a particular neighborhood. It also, I think, is really fabulous because it does help you understand, even though artist studios are completely throughout the region, there are these nodes where there's, you know, a heavier concentration of artists, et cetera. And I think that actually is really quite wonderful for people to understand, where do artists live in our city? What kinds of neighborhoods are particularly filled with creative endeavor and art making? So that, I think, ends up working out really, really well.
Is there a studio or several studios that come to mind that you've been surprised by or that delighted you in some way during these last 3 years?
There are artists who have the means and the organization to really set up a studio. And for example, I'm thinking of when you go into that fourth floor of the City Museum and there are artist studios. And not only are there individual artist studios, but then there are real collectives. You know, you can go into one of those places and meet and see the practice of four or five different artists in one fell swoop. There are other artists who open their studios and their studios are part of their homes. And that's really interesting, too, is to see the breadth of the way that artists work, the kind of spaces that they work in, how they insist on their art making and make it function within, you know, where they are or how they work or what their living situation is. And I find that really wonderful. I also think it helps people understand that sometimes artists are circumscribed in their practice by where they work. You know, there's the famous story of, you know, artists like Alfred Jensen, who made gigantic mural paintings, but they were made up of 7 panels because his studio in New York was only a certain size. He could only fit something down the stairs. And you really see artists making these creative decisions and finding solutions to the problems that are posed by their studios. And so that's something that I have always been really delighted by in this process.
What was one of the worst experiences you've had while doing this?
What it all comes down to is comfort. Let's say you have 20 people with you on a bus tour, 25 people on a bus tour, and you go to a studio that you know is work by a really fabulous artist, and the studio itself is great in terms of what it has, but it's like 200 square feet. And we used to, as you know, do this in the summertime. And I can assure you that the only really bad experiences for open studios had to do with the ambient temperature. One of the reasons that we were adamant about moving open studios to the fall, and particularly to October, it was twofold. One was students and therefore faculty are back in session. So there are many people who are around in the fall who are not in the summer, and we want them to take part in this. But another huge part of it is just plain weather, because we do bike tours and walking tours, and then the studios themselves, I mean, you know, you can only do so much mopping up in front of all the people that you're leading on a tour. And so I would say hopefully we have avoided that in this new iteration of open studios. So we think that this will be a really nice precedent to set, and more inclusive because people are around, but also more comfortable.
Have you noticed or do you expect in the tour the artists to kind of reflect the activism in art that's been going on in St. Louis for the past, say, year and a half?
Absolutely. And I would say last year, in particular, when we did the curator-led bus tour, and I think this happened with the Arts Writer bus tour as well, we definitely chose artists with whom we wanted to speak who had practices that were material and they made objects, but others who had practices that were very much about politics and sort of social standing and had social practices in general. And that, I think that's important, because I do think that that is a really important way in which St. Louis artists are expressing themselves. And so we definitely want that to be a part of the mix that we highlight.
What sort of trends have you seen regarding the intersection of activism and the arts in the arts world, not just St. Louis? And kind of how do you see that affecting then people's perspectives of the work that's done here?
So I think that there are two sort of strains of this impulse to make socially engaged and active work. There are artists whose practices have always been social. And what you see with them is that there's nothing different about them taking on current events, but obviously the content changes in accord with whatever is happening in the world and whatever it is that they want to discuss or create a form for dialogue for in their work. The other strain are artists who make work specifically in reaction to something that has happened. And I think we see a lot of both of those kinds of practices. And I think we see a lot of those kinds of practices mirrored in the work that's happening in St. Louis amongst the regional community. And again, you know, you have forums for both, right? You have, on the one hand, exhibitions that are actually created around the idea that every artist in there is making a piece of work that in some way deals with the events in Ferguson or with Michael Brown, versus artists who, for example, I think something very prescient right now, if you think about the exhibition at the Des Lee Gallery, artists who have always used guns, for example, or the idea of arms in their work and how that may have changed in accord with what an exhibition asked them to do. And, you know, I think about that show where artists are working specifically with firearms, but then I also think about the fact that a year ago we showed the exhibition of Mel Chin, and there was a work that he had done, you know, he has worked with guns as objects, and of course that's something that's been a part of his practice for many, many years. So I think that's really interesting, and I think that the intersection of those two impulses can be very rich and very provocative. But I definitely think that St. Louis and its community of artists is absolutely engaged in that dialogue.
That was Lisa Malandri, the head of St. Louis's Contemporary Art Museum. She was discussing the Open Studios tours, which was organized by CAM. I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
And I'm Nancy Fowler, and this has been Cut and Paste, a production of St. Louis Public Radio, produced by Willis Arnold
and Nancy Fowler, with the help of our editor, Donna Carando.
The opening music was by Eric Hall.
You can find Cut and Paste online at stlpublicradio.org, or you can subscribe through multiple podcast services.